This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Clay Travis joins us now, courtesy of the Home Loan Expert, thehomeloanexpert.com. What's up, Clay? How are you?
Just enjoying life, boys.
I hear you. The Supreme Court decision yesterday, I know you've spent a lot of time talking about that. It's weird to see how different leagues have reacted to it, like Major League Baseball and NBA were on board already. NFL's been kind of slow. The NCAA's been a little tepid. At some point, all these leagues are going to have to get on board because of the money, aren't they?
I don't know that it changes things that much in terms of the day-to-day for the leagues, because I think the amount of money that was being spent already is staggering. I think it'll just increase, and I think it'll bring the money out of kind of the sort of subterfuge and hidden arenas and put it straight forward. And I think that a lot of these NBA teams and NHL teams and NFL teams will same thing will happen with them happen with the English Premier League. They'll be sponsored by gambling companies. And the amount of money that will roll in, it'll be somewhat similar to, you know, you'll have an exclusive deal with a soft drink or a beer or a shoe company, and you'll also have an exclusive deal with a gambling company. But I think the idea that they're going to get a share of every bet that's placed and all that stuff is it's laughably absurd. I mean, I don't even know why you would anticipate that. I mean, to me, you don't get a share of everything that happens in fantasy sports. You know, your value comes through your television ratings, through the amount of money that your television partners can make off selling these ads, and through the direct relationship you can have with these companies yourself. But you're not going to get a share of every wager placed. I mean, that's ridiculous.
No, I agree with you, Clay, and especially when your annual profit margin is only 5% technically. I just don't know how that happens. Let me ask you this, though. Where does the NCAA fall in? Because kind of a weird ruling in West Virginia where, according to this deal, they want to send money to Marshall and West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, I think that college basketball and college football gambling are going to be happening and continue to happen. And I do think that there's a little bit more at stake there, but the case has always been that, you know, college kids are more likely to be able to be influenced, I think, by gambling. I don't think your average pro athlete is going to be able to make enough money to throw a game. I mean, it's not like it's the, you know, World Series back in the day. I just don't think it would be possible.
The salaries are way too big. It'll never happen.
Yeah, and you couldn't get down enough money to be able to make the money. I think in the low-level college, it could potentially be an issue. But the thing about legalizing sports gambling is it makes it more likely that you would catch that because they would see the abnormal betting patterns. Almost always the places that have caught point shaving have been sports gamblers because they're saying, boy, this line is moving in an abnormal direction. You know, they said that back at Arizona State, when Arizona State was had some players shaving points, they had so many Arizona State fraternity kids coming into Vegas to put money down on the games that they started to say, wait a minute, what's actually going on here? So I think that, you know, sunshine is typically the best disinfectant, and I think making sports gambling legal actually makes the results of the games themselves more honest.
Clay Travis is with us, Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio. He's with us courtesy of the Home Loan Expert, thehomeloanexpert.com. Our bordering state, Mississippi, already has the bullet in the chamber. They're ready to go. Your bordering state, Kentucky, introduced legislation yesterday. We know where Alabama stands. Where does Tennessee stand on this?
I would think we would legalize it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the lottery. We've got the multi-state lottery, all those things. You know, there is I would be very surprised if it doesn't end up happening at some point in Tennessee as well. And I think when border states do it, that it was one of the reasons why Tennessee did a lottery, because they said, wait a minute, why are we letting people drive across the state border in Georgia to go buy lottery tickets when we could just be making that money ourselves? So I would anticipate that we'll do it. I think the big question in many of these states is going to be, what does that mean? Because I think LT could tell you, I think lots of your listeners could tell you, right now you can easily go on an offshore and place a bet anywhere in the country without really worrying about it in a grand scheme, right? If I can't legally place a bet in my state of residence online, I'm not going to go stand in line at a physical location to place a bet right before kickoff. And I'm certainly not going to do that at halftime if I want to chase a line or if I've got a hedging I can do or whatever else might be in play. So I think they all need to be as tech savvy as they possibly can be. Everybody needs to be able to bet from their phones.
Clay Travis is with us. Away from gambling, the big story in sports is the Western Conference of finals that tipped off last night. It seems like the sports world was waiting on that game last night, and there seems to be just a big exhale in disappointment, a little depression this morning after the way it went down last night. Did you feel that, and do you think any way Houston can end up making this a series?
Well, I bet a lot on Golden State when I saw they were the underdog, so I was not exhaling. I was pretty excited with the result. But I know I think Houston's dead, and I think whoever wins the Eastern Conference is dead too. I mean, I think Golden State is infinitely better than anybody else. I mean, here's a great stat for you: Golden State has played 28 games since Kevin Durant joined the Warriors. They are 25-3 in those 28 games. They have won six series, and they now are on their seventh different seven-game series. All of those teams combined have not beaten the Warriors four times yet. I want you to think about how crazy of a stat that is. They're in their seventh series now. If you combined all of the wins that the seven teams have gotten against the Warriors, they still would not have combined to win a seven-game series yet. And if you look at the losses the Warriors have had, they're even more ridiculous because it's basically happened every time after the series is already decided. They lost game four in the NBA Finals after they had already won 15 games in a row, I think it was. They lost game four to the Spurs after they had already gone up 3-0. They lost game three to the Pelicans after they had already gone up 2-0. Games that matter, they don't lose, which is why I think they'll go on the road and beat the Rockets again on Wednesday.
And look, this is one of those questions that we can compare eras, but we'll never know what actually would happen. But this came up earlier in the show. How good is this Golden State team compared to other great teams? Showtime Lakers, mid-90s Bulls. I think this team's as good as any of those or better.
Yeah, I think you have to look at it from Hall of Famer perspective, right? I think that's the easiest way to judge teams because that allows you to look at within the era in which they played. The Chicago Bulls at their peak had what, three Hall of Famers? I don't know if Dennis Rodman's a
no, I think
just
two.
Pippen and Jordan. That was it, yeah.
Wait, yeah, you don't think Rodman was a Hall of Fame defensive and rebounding player?
Yeah, but I'm saying he's not a Hall of Fame player.
That's not the way you judge Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You can't just judge one aspect of the game.
I think you can make an argument at best that they had three Hall of Fame caliber players if you give credit to Rodman.
At best,
that, right?
Yeah.
That's it. And that's being very lenient. I think if you're doing the same thing right now with the Golden State Warriors, they have four Hall of Fame players if you're applying that same standard. I think there's Steph and Kevin Durant.
Locks.
First ballot Hall of Famers. I don't think anybody would argue with that at all. I think there's a very good chance that that Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, by the time their careers are over, will also have put together Hall of Fame caliber resumes. So that would mean there are four Hall of Famers on this iteration of the Golden State Warriors. And then I think you have to look at that and compare them with every other team of their era. And also then compare them with past great teams and see how much better their talent is than everybody else's. I can't think of very many teams that would have more right now than two Hall of Famers anywhere else in the NBA. Can you guys think of a team right now that guaranteed has three Hall of Famers in the NBA?
Nope.
So, I mean, look, that's not to say it might not happen, but I think most NBA teams at most would have two. And the Warriors, I think, have a pretty good chance to have four.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Boston right now, like if Hayward is healthy, Jason Tatum, the way he's coming on, Kyrie Irving possibly, but I agree with you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's hard to make that argument right now that you would have more than two anywhere. Now, there may be young guys, like you said, Jason Tatum's a young guy. In 3 years, we may be like, okay, this guy is having a Hall of Fame caliber career. I think there's a very strong argument that all four of those Warriors guys could be Hall of Fame caliber players. And I actually think Draymond Green might be in the number three spot above Klay Thompson in the four potentially, although I think all four of them are going to make it. But if you had to rank them, I think you'd probably go Durant, Steph, 1-2, and then you'd go in the third spot. Maybe Draymond Green. I don't know. and then Klay Thompson in four. I think certainly Klay Thompson and Draymond Green would be your three and your four.
All right, Klay, you're brought to us each week by the Home Loan Expert.
That's right. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com. My guy Ryan Kelly will hook you up, get you the best possible mortgage just in time for the end of the school year, moving into a new school zone, buying a new home, selling a new home, whatever you're doing to get the best possible rate on your mortgage, whether you need to get refied, whether you need to get pre-qualified, or whether you need to just make sure that you have the best possible rate you can. Ryan Kelly is the Nick Saban of mortgaging. He can take care of you like he took care of me and my family. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Give them a chance to get your business throughout the state of Alabama.
Where college football never ends.
The kick is good! Auburn wins! 22-19! The Auburn Tigers are on top of the college football world.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.